Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Tom Donnan's back with us again today as we discuss Bible prophecy in relation to current events. Boy, do we have some current events happening right now that's related to Bible prophecy. Amen. Tom, we're going to get into the war in Israel here in a moment, but let's kind of set the stage a little bit with some precursors that indicate the day and time in which we live. I mean, you know, we know God gives you some unique dreams and insights, so I'll start there because we were talking, you mentioned the name Jessica to me, and I thought that was interesting. Let's just start with that.
Okay, so this has happened a couple times when I was getting ready for the interview where something would happen, and I think hydrodynamics was one of the words that came into my mind in past interviews. So here it is. I'm getting ready to send you this this outline to you, and all of a sudden I'm beginning to start this outline, and the word Jessica came to my mind. Now, you know, like if you're looking at the computer and you got your train of thought, and all of a sudden, like, where did this come from? Right? All right, so I'm trying to figure out what in the world. Of course, I always try to investigate, what does the word Jessica mean? You know, and so it came down to the definition that I saw that I felt held was God beholds. Amen. So when you think about what's going on with Israel, you know, I think that's what God is. Of course, we know he is going to behold. He's going to hold up his nation. He's going to hold up his people. And it was kind of like an assurity that in the chaos and all the stuff that is looking bad because of the controversy flies in every which way direction. And we're in a time and a place, you know, at the end of, I think it's Numbers, where it said in 20, maybe 22, 20, something, you know, way at the end, the very last verse, it says, and they did everything that was right in their own eyes. Yeah. You know, so what happens then is you got multiple opinions. You just don't got a couple different opinions because based on knowledge and experience and stuff like that, you have people just coming from every which way with a direction. And that's what's going on when it's involving this conflict that's currently going on.
Yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, any other nation on the face of the earth invades another country, everyone is, you know, rushing to their aid. They invade Israel, and like, yeah, let them have the land. You know, it's yeah, complete opposite, you know. It's just so demonically weird that the reaction around the world, that, you know, instead of coming out against Hamas for the horrific actions they did on October 7th,
yeah,
people are coming out in support of them. I mean, let's talk about Israel. I mean, you put together a major outline of events that happened in Israel's history. So let's just go over that. You know, first, the prophecy, they would be restored as a nation, right?
Well, yeah. So it shouldn't be a surprise that May 14th, 1948, is that because of the Holocaust, and of course we know that God was shaping and directing people to come to that conclusion. And one of the presidents of the United States, I can't remember his name right now, maybe you know, was a major contributor. But the United Nations had come together with the president of the United States and decided that, okay, we are going to give the Palestine area back to the Jews, and that nation was reborn. Now, that was a fulfillment of prophecy that is very, very old. All right. So now when you have any kind of displaced people, you're always going to have a problem with, a takeover of that sort. And that's what happens when you have a war. Look at what's going on in Ukraine and in that area there. But it's not the same. There is some kind of unrealistic, ungodly hatred that is pushing this, that people just don't seem to be able to identify. They say, well, they should get their land back. It's not going to happen until Jesus returns, you know, and so we're going to have these conflicts. They're only going to intensify as we move forward, and God is behind what's happening here. So then we got, you know, the World War III prophecies. You got the Ezekiel, what is it, 38, 39, you know, war that's
Psalms
going on.
Psalms 83, yep.
Yeah, and all those things are shaping up. Now, the one thing that came to my mind this morning as I was refreshing myself and praying about the interview is is that now we are starting to see the level of chaos come to a lot of consciousness throughout the world. Chaos that is going to need, you know, a leader, a savior. Mm. And we can see the evidence of going in the direction of the Antichrist coming on the scene. Yeah. You know, to be able to say peace, you know, peace and you know, and he will have the treaty signed. Well, we can see. Don't you see it? I mean, we can see this happening before our eyes.
Yeah.
You know, amen. Where these things are shaping up.
Yep. And Qatar is trying to intervene and be the peacemaker between both sides. And, you know, when you look at the area of Qatar, and I'm trying to remember the name of the city down there, Dubai, right? Dubai is supposed to be like the modern day Babylon, right? That's what they're billing it as. It's supposed to have the latest and greatest of everything, you know, and, you know, here you have everything being set up for that influence, you know, and it's just amazing to me. Nobody cares. You know, there's no outcry against it. There's only support for it. With everything going on in Israel, they're looking for somebody to come in and make peace. You know? And, you know, I'm watching the news as everyone else is, and I'm seeing, you know, they're calling it this slow creep. You know, you have the big breakthrough, the, you know, blitzkrieg type thing. Israel's doing the slow creep, right? They're going roughly about 100 yards a day into the Gaza Strip. Right? Because what they're doing, and I don't blame them, they're knocking down buildings, then they're trying to find the tunnel entrances. And then they're going down into the tunnels and clearing the tunnels because you don't want to get, you know, 200 yards in and have the enemy pop up behind you now. Right? So they're taking their time and they're just annihilating, not destroying the buildings, the whole nine yards as they go. And so I call it the slow creep instead of the blitzkrieg. But, you know, when they are doing that, it's with the military precision and the guidance to leave, make sure they have nothing uncovered, right? When that destruction takes place, naturally there's going to be the outcry, well, now we need to rebuild and all that. And you're going to have that person come in and say, look, the only way we're going to settle this is by letting Israel build their temple on the temple, because that's going to be, you know, part of the negotiations, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll let you have a temple. You let them have this land.
I see. You know? Yeah.
I mean, I can see that coming down the tubes.
You know? Yeah. Because
what does Israel want more than anything?
You know? Yeah.
And tell you what, you leave them alone. We'll let you build a temple. How about that?
Yeah, that's very
okay.
Plausible.
We can do that, you know, and you know, I mean, we've talked about that before, you know. What would be the trigger point? I think we've seen the trigger pulled. Now it's dealing with the repercussions and allowing that person to step forward and say, "I have a peace plan that I think will work for both sides." You know, and like I was talking to another prophecy expert, and he said that I asked him, I said, "Do you think this is the beginning of the 7-year tribulation?" I said, no. And the way he phrased it was so cool. He said, man wants to play checkers. God plays chess. You know, and he goes, all we're seeing right now are the pawns being maneuvered. And what's the end game in chess? When the opposing king can't move left, right, forward, or back. He's stopped. He has no move left, right? And he said, God's just moving the pawns around right now, getting ready for that last move where you have one choice or you die. And then he said, you know, man wants to go in and play checkers, you know, I win, you know, but God plays chess. So he says, well, all we're seeing right now is the pawns being maneuvered.
You know? Yeah.
And so that's, man. But I mean, we have this conflict over Israel. It's going to be like that, folks, until Jesus returns. And until then, we'll continue to see escalations and wars and rumors of wars and all that. Matter of fact, you know, we talk about the nation of Israel being reborn. You had a video of that as well that you shared, right?
Yes, that was, I think it was pretty short, you know, talking about the amazing prophecy that came true, the nation Israel reborn. It's on YouTube. Yeah. And you always put the links down below. And so people can go in there and see that this shouldn't be a surprise. I think one of the things that does surprise me, though, is how let's say the rocket barrage that is shot into Israel, right? And they have the Iron Dome, which they say is 90% of the rockets don't make it through. All right. And so they defend themselves. But why isn't there an outrage that there's rockets coming in the first place? No. So when they finally get to the point where they say, listen, I've had enough of this, and they defend themselves, then all of a sudden there's an outrage for defending themselves. And that's where it gets into the point where it just doesn't make sense until you start to see the prophecies and connecting the prophecies with the timings that are going on. You know, I think, what was it? That says that when you see the fig tree blossom, you know, this generation, you'll see me return, and, you know, within a generation. Okay, so we're like way down the road of that generation. And so now all of a sudden the convergence, as we talk about just about in every interview.
Convergence, yeah. Amen.
Yes, the convergence is getting quicker and tighter and more in-depth. And at the same time, as we see these prophecies unfolding, and even in the secular stuff, you know, I comment about this Tim Pool IRS. IRL show, and they're even talking about end times. No, because people are just seeing that these evidence, these what the world might call coincidences, are happening in such detail that they're realizing, no, this isn't a coincidence anymore. Yeah. This is, we're starting to see this. Yeah. And I'm hoping that will jar people, because in our comfort as a nation, which is kind of interesting, right? We got so much stuff going on around here. Is that if it doesn't affect your life, and then all of a sudden a new thing develops, you know, a new company goes out of business, a new situation rises up, and all of a sudden either it gets real close or it's touching you. No. And so now we're starting to see evidence of people realizing, oh, wait a minute, I'm paying a price I didn't want to pay. I love the thing about Amos, right? The book of Amos. At the end, you know, he's got them hooked in because all these other people are sinning. And then he basically says, listen, you're sinning worse than all of them, right? Oh, they didn't like that at all.
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
No. So thing here is that eventually they told him, says, I think I'm going to write a fictional book about this. No, they finally said, Amos, just go home, right? And then finally, they had a period of time where things were good. And then God says, okay, I've given you this time. You're not going to turn around. I gave you more than enough time. And then he sent in consequences. Well, we're starting to see consequences creep into a variety of different people's lives, you know. And what's happening is that once that hits them, then all of a sudden they do the reevaluation. Now, you and I have been trying to get the eyes open for a long time now.
Amen. Yeah.
Trying to say, okay, listen, you need to get on a strong foundation of Jesus Christ, because this is going to get bad. And hopefully people have been listening and they have been doing that, because that's what's going to help them survive. The thing about a national turnaround that I've hoped for, I don't know that that's going to happen, because we see decline going on all over the place. You know, did you see that? Did we talk about this the last time, what was happening with Sweden? You know, because that's still relatively new. Yeah. You know, where they're deciding, yeah, oh, man, we've lost our culture. And then the same thing with France. You know, they say, well, they didn't come here to assimilate. They came here to take over. And now we're seeing it within our own borders. We're in Chicago.
In Chicago.
they brought so many immigrants, you know. It was a brilliant move to send the immigrants to other parts of the country. Whoever came up with that idea was great, because then they feel the pain, right? That's so right. You have the it's supposed to be what do they call that? Where immigrant free zone, or you know, where they say you got to encourage them to come. Well, now they're coming, and the people are like crazed, right? They're crazed. because now all the crime is going up and you got people that need services and they, you know, and then out of nowhere, Chicago decides that, oh, we got $1 billion to help them. And the communities, what? You got what? Right? You haven't been helping us and you got what?
That's right. Where'd you get that money from?
Yeah. And who do you think is going to be paying for it? Right. And so it's like it's hitting the fan now. Right. Yeah. Because the consequences have come home. What do they say that the, you know, it's starting the roost, you know,
right, come home to roost.
And now that it's affecting their lives personally, but we've been talking about this, it's going to happen. It's not, it's as if the rings keep on getting closer, you know, to individual lives. And as soon as it starts to hit them, all of a sudden they're jarred and all of a sudden they realize, oh, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. Well, what did you think was going to happen? You know, there are consequences to decisions and now the decisions are being made. And so now we're starting to live those consequences. And now they're trying to do damage control. You know, we got all this kind of like chaos in our own government where we had a Speaker of the House and then we didn't have a Speaker of the House. And now we got a new Speaker of the House. And, you know, it's so that chaos is contributing. How is that going to work out?
Yep.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
You look at that because you just about, you know, throw money at the problem. As long as you throw money at the problem, we're good, you know. And, you know, these, what's the name they're using? Immigrant free zones or, you know,
something like that. Yeah.
Sanctuary cities.
That's there it. You
sanctuary
go.
Sanctuary cities. Yeah. And they say, okay, so if we go to Chicago, if we go to New York, we go to Philadelphia, they're going to give us jobs, money, housing. Let's go. You know? So, you know, because, yeah, we'll throw money at it. Like I said, all of a sudden they come up with another billion to help. So people are saying, well, shoot, give us some of that too, because they want the money. You know, they want the better life. I don't disagree that, you know, living in poverty in the United States is like being, you know, king of the ghetto wherever they're coming from. Okay. Because some of these places are horrific. I wouldn't want to live there. So I can understand why they want to come, but you have to understand why they can't come at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there was a time, I think they allowed what, 1 million people, you know, or something like that a year immigrating to the United States. Now we're getting, you know, 3 million a year just flooding across the border. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. But, you know, going back to how that relates to Gaza and all that, throw money at the problem. You know, here's what'll bring peace to Gaza and Israel. We'll throw money at the problem. We'll give hundreds of millions of dollars to Gaza, right? But it wasn't used to make life better. It was helping them to arm for this conflict that's happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, and these are all biblical events. We're seeing ourselves being set up for the end time. There can be no argument about it. And the war in Israel, you know, you put a video on that. You know, we're watching prophecy unfold right before our very eyes.
Yes. Yes. The hard part is the human cost that is going on, you know, the devastation. The people that are in Gaza are pawns. They are being used. They're being used to try to move an agenda forward. And it is terrible. You know, I like the quote that Trump had said, you know, he says, stop the killing, right? And so when you have a war, you're going to have people who are injured in a variety of ways. And it's gut-wrenching to see these things taking place. And so, but we are told that this is going to happen. You know, until there's that climax where somebody steps in, just like you said, and says, listen, I got a plan, because this guy has like superhuman knowledge, which comes, you know, to like AI. You and I could talk another whole program on what's going on with AI. It's just so incredible. But yet somehow this person is going to have a way of bringing the factions together to create peace, like you said earlier. But the intensity of bringing it to that point is what we're watching happen now. So, you know, the current state that is on people's minds is this beginning of World War III, because you see all these major militaries that are converging. Oh, and what do you think about, it's almost like there's a blackout on news. No?
Yeah.
On the YouTube, where I go and I Usually you have the news streams, you know, like I like to have a variety of their on there so that you subscribe. You subscribe so that they'll show up. Well, they're not showing up, right? I have to go over to the subscription link and click it to get them to actually show up, you know, and then I click on news and I'll get eight things and then the stream stops, right? What do you, before you could have like endless pages of news. Now you get eight. And yeah. So the thing is that you have to like really hunt for the information because it is being held back.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right.
So you don't, they don't want you to see what's going on with the chaos in Europe with all the dissension that's going on there. No, and people being arrested just for having their faith, and a woman praying and out on a street in front of I think it was an abortion clinic. She was praying silently, and they asked her, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm praying. You're arrested. You know, you can't do that on the sidewalk." I mean, it's like getting absolutely crazy. So, where does it stop? I know my head just kind of like explodes because it's like we're watching our society collapsing before us.
Yeah.
I watched one video and I didn't list it, where this person goes, nothing gets done when you have a woke meeting, right? So then they showed you a video where they're having some kind of like a council room stuff. I don't know if it was a council, but it was some kind of meeting that was going on. And person after person saying, listen, I can't concentrate on what they're saying because all those people around me are talking, right? And then the next person comes up. Well, they used the wrong pronoun, you know, and then somebody else comes up. Nothing's getting done because of the you know, like fighting for my rights. These rights, I don't know what they are, you know, and so nothing looks like getting done. And then I'm with, all of a sudden on my feed starts showing up this stuff about what's happening with the women, you know, story after story of a woman that says, I divorced my husband and I instantly regretted it, right? Because our society is feeding them that they're going to be okay on their own. No. And so they decide, well, the grass is going to be greener. I'm going to be able to take care of myself. And all of a sudden they realize, oh, man, I made the biggest mistake of my life. You know, and then you have the women that are going on in about their career and they get to about 38, 40 years old. And they realize, well, wait a minute. I actually wanted a family. And now I'm in an age where the pool to pull from is so narrow that now they're thinking to themselves, I may live my life alone. And they're thinking, I didn't sign up for this. But they buy into these things, and now they're starting to realize that their life has been damaged. And then you have these entitled teenagers that are going all over the place, and then you have the crime that is going on, and then the shootings that's going on. And it just doesn't seem to ever stop because the society, this social experiment that they've been going on,
that's right,
has now gotten to the place where there's nothing but chaos. And in that chaos is usually where people exploit it for their own agendas, exactly. You know? And so now let me just throw this in because I have my suspicions. And that is that in the next election, you know, for the Democrats, it doesn't look good, right? Because people are starting to realize, listen, we've lost major cities because of this. We've lost states are ruined because of this. You know, so they're not going to want to give up power. They got some kind of plan that we're not privy to yet, right? But they're going to come up with some way to try to keep themselves in power. And I'm concerned because it's probably not going to be good.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about power. It's not about politics. It's all about power. You know, like I said, you can go back just, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you know, Ronald Reagan and I can't remember who the Speaker of the House was right now, but, you know, arch enemies, politics, but then they'd go out and have dinner afterwards and sit there and talk, well, you know, we really need to do something. Well, you know, I can try and get this across. Okay. But then the next day they get in front of television, you know, reporters and stuff, they're spouting their political stuff, but behind the scenes, they're actually being polite towards one another and okay, well, let me try and work this through the House for you. If you can get the Senate to go along with this, then we'll be all right type thing. And, you know, they'd work together. Yeah. That's going across the aisle, you know, now that aisle is a great big old, you know, valley gorge down there, you know, and the only way to go across is on a tightrope. And boy, if you just slip one time on that tightrope, you're done politically, you know, and it's ridiculous.
But, it is.
You know, we have, you know, all of, you know, you mentioned a few minutes ago about AI and stuff. You showed me a video about kill switches being required to be installed in cars. What is going on with that?
Oh, gee, doesn't it make you sick? I mean, behind the scenes, no, I just heard something on a video. Yeah, it was an interview with, you know, I'm going to use President Trump. I know he isn't popular, but the man says stuff that makes sense. No. And it was, his philosophy was to the world, you kill our citizens, we're going to come for you, right? Which is a very important message, right? But then within our own borders, we got people setting up rules to govern us in such a way that if we don't comply with what they want, then they'll start taking stuff away. So it comes, I thought, oh, I can't believe that they actually did this. This is what's going on in my mind. I can't believe that they're going to do this, is create cars with a kill switch. No, okay, so they always say, well, you know, is there somebody who is drunk driving, or, you know, they always use the good excuse. And, you know, the slippery slope right now is like, you know, like 85%, you know, it's like, whoa, you go down fast. So I'm thinking, oh, gee, I wonder where this could go. Yeah. Every car will have the built-in a kill switch, and then they'll start with these smart cities, right? So that if you go beyond your designated area without permission, the kill switch will automatically go in. Now, this is my own thoughts and opinions, but it's not a stretch because they're talking about these things. So, yes, can you imagine? things happen, and sometimes I've been watching a couple of videos where somebody has been pulled over because their car was stolen, right? Well, it wasn't stolen. The car that's in question wasn't stolen. So the thing is that it goes downhill from there. So the thing is that if you have this kill switch ability, then eventually it's going to be used against you. There's got to be some kind of bringing it back to the Constitution, right? Mm-hmm. This is the thing across the board, everywhere. Got to come back to the laws that were actually there for our civil rights, for our human rights, to be able to be exercised. But this is just another chip. This is another chip that they're saying that, okay, we need this in order to be able to watch out for you. No, it's to control you, to going down the road. So we have a deterioration of society across the board. Mm-hmm. No. And so that's where it becomes a concern, because it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well for people like you and I, because you know what, there's 70 million deplorables out there, and I fall into that deplorable range. No. And so there's going to be continued restraints. And this is a huge one to have a kill switch put in there. You know, like, remember that just recently where that gun safe, they called for the password from the manufacturer, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the safe owners realized, wait, you put a back door into my safe? You did what? You know, it drove them crazy. And of course, they took a hit for that. But this is the same thing. They're putting a back door into your car so that they can, for whatever reason, stop you because they just have
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the advances of technology, you know, the telephone. Well, then they figured out how to tap telephones, you know, the computer and the internet, and they figured out how to see what you're looking at on the internet. I mean, I have Alexa in my office here as well, right? And she's listening to me right now and sending all that information to Google, you know? I mean, yeah, so every advancement, they find some way of trying to control what it is you're doing. Everything I just said, Google probably heard right now. But that's the technological advancements that accelerate us towards the end times.
Yes.
To control it. Man cannot buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast, you know.
Oh, and man.
Got this new government cryptocurrency, you know, that's trying to be pushed out. That's going to control how much you make, when you can spend it, how you can spend it, how much you can spend, you know.
Yeah.
It's no longer your money. They're giving you permission to use a portion of it You know, well, you got $10,000 in your savings account and you want to buy a computer that will allow you to do X, Y, and Z. Nah, we're not going to let that happen. You know, I mean, it's you know, here we go. And again, all this ties in with what we're seeing right now in Israel, because it all ties together. You know, we talk about AI again. I mean, you got that ChatGPT, which I've used. It's great. But, you know, it's still artificial intelligence. And there's a lot of people now advocating that, you know, the continual improvement of artificial intelligence is actually going to destroy humanity. I mean, could this be the influence of the Antichrist?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes. But let's, okay, so two things on that. All right, so my mind is kind of like going all over the place now. And that is that I was watching a little video just the other day. Of course, I was on there this morning looking for breaking news, that kind of thing. But I think it was yesterday where this woman proudly came out of, like, let's say a grocery store. And she said, I paid for my groceries with my palm. You know, I'm thinking, oh, wait, that's a biometric passport. And once somebody has that, they got it forever. I'm thinking, oh, this is like crazy here. No. And then you have this thing where we talked about this maybe once or two programs before about how now with the AI and the GPT-4 and moving towards 5, how they can actually listen to your voice and then project any kind of statement they want using your voice. And then also connected to video, right? Well, they just got that, right? They just got it because it showed up with Tom Hanks. So Tom Hanks is somewhere else in the world, and all of a sudden he gets the information. Hey, are you endorsing this product? And he says, what product? You know, and he goes, no, I'm not endorsing this product. Yeah, you're endorsing this product. You know, somebody made this new AI commercial of him doing it, and he had no idea, and it was convincing. So what is this going to do in our society? It comes back to the great deception. This is just the beginning. This kind of stuff is going to be everywhere. You're not going to be able to know what to believe. You're not going to be able to know what candidate to believe. You're not going to be able to understand unless you're actually seeing the person face to face. Then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this okay, that's true. But after that, everything now that's going to be created, it has to be examined to be able to make sure that it is absolutely true.
Yeah, amen. That's right. And those videos are getting easier and easier to make. That's the bad part. It used to be, you know, wow, this is some really, you know, they really worked on this. Now a 12-year-old can do it in like 15 minutes. I mean, you and I couldn't do it in 2 days, but the 12-year-old could do it in 15 minutes.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. So another one that was very disturbing in watching how this is progressing. You know, and this guy, the scientist, was talking about how the GPT jumps are like the Richter scale jumps. Every time you jump a number, the magnitude increases by 10, right? Okay. So he was talking about how GPT is right now about this the equivalent of the IQ of Einstein, which could be pretty scary. But that it jumps really quick. And he said that within a few years, the IQ could be 3,000. Now, how does a human being contend with that? I mean, you can't even turn it off. And when I say that, is that we have this sidewalk internet web system where the information can jump from one ring bell to another and That's other right. aptitudes and stuff. I mean, you can't even cut off the internet without this, without the ability of having stuff jump anyway. No. So there's not going to be any kind of containment. This is the part. How do you contain it now? You can't.
That's right. Amen. Amen. You know, and you have a YouTube video where I saw that the discussion was about the Satanic Six, okay? And six signs of the attempt to destroy the family. And we know that's the devil's whole plan from the Garden of Eden on, is to destroy the godly family.
Oh, yeah.
Go over that for us really quickly here.
Yeah, you know, this guy came up in my feed, and so I was thinking to myself, okay, I'll take a look at this. And it went in a direction that I hadn't anticipated. And it's talking about the destruction of the family, the destruction of society, and the feminization of males and the toxicity of the males, and how that is destroying us from within. And as they are going through this indication, you know, it started out like gangbusters. I wasn't crazy about the way that this pastor was starting out. But then when he settled down and he got into the message, wow, was he right on all this different stuff. You know, even to the point of having, you know, it's now considered toxic masculinity, right? And I was watching something this morning that was very disturbing about how young women are concerned now when you have a board of 6 white men that are making decisions. But where in the world did this come to? You know, it's so now you have this, how would you say, matriarchal society trying to emerge. And there's this young YouTube woman, I think it's her channel is Pearl something. And she's talking, and she's got a t-shirt and said, women shouldn't vote, right? I'm thinking, okay, this woman's going in the opposite direction, right? So I was listening to her, and she's talking about how decision-making is based on emotions in a lot of situations, and you can't have life decisions, country decisions based on emotions. You got to have rationalization. And so at the same time that she is on this in society, it's going like headlong at full head of steam, as they say, for the destruction of men. Now, you got these YouTubes where this woman, they go up to the woman on the street and they said, do you need a man in your life? She goes, no, I don't need a man in my life. And then they jump to skyscrapers being built and guys walking down beams. And what do they call those? The guys that are on rigs. You know, I can't think of the name right now, that are help drilling the pipes, you know, and they're using their muscles and all kinds of these things where men are used to build society in the world around us. No, we don't need men. And I'm thinking, well, this is where it's kind of like chaotic. And why do people buy into this stuff? Yeah. No, I don't understand this. So this guy is laying out how males are being targeted and destroyed by just using words, you know, to be able to misdirect people. And that's where it gets scary, because this is propaganda.
Yeah.
And this is, and people are buying it to the point where somebody, just a billionaire, just finally told Harvard, he says, listen, I'm not giving you any more money. You guys cross the line now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it might be a little too late, because we got a lot of people that have already been indoctrinated and educated to think this way.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, you know, these pro-Palestinian protests and all that stuff, you know, and that guy from Harvard is like, you know, that's not what I want my money to go for, you know, but yet these students, you know, I was watching an interview with some Israeli students that were huddled in the library trying to be protected from this mad crowd. You know, and that's society collapsing all around us. You know, there's a spiritual awakening that has to happen in order to counter this decline, because right now anti-Semitism's on the rise.
I almost broke down crying in my men's Bible study last week. It wasn't a pretty sight, mind you. All right. Because I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated to beyond belief. Our society is going around, you know, it's collapsing. They're saying racism. Every time you turn around, it's racism. But then you've got racism coming out of their mouths against white people, against Jewish people, against other minorities, because they just don't fit their narrative anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I am so extremely frustrated, because we need the goodness of God in human beings across the country. No, and without that, we're not going to see a change, because when the Holy Spirit comes in us, the goodness of God comes in us, His love comes in us. He challenges us to become more Christ-like. No, and in Christ-likeness, we get the abundant life. That isn't what's happening. We're getting more division all the time. We're getting destruction all the time. And I'm like beside myself, because I've been laboring, like I said earlier, in the time that we had before the interview. I said I've been laboring in a ministry for 15 months. And not making any headway. It's like, okay, how come? How come there's not any headway going on? The spiritual warfare seems to come in like a pounce and just squash any kind of spiritual life that's taking place. And it just frustrates me to the point where I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you know, I got family. I got children. I have a stake in this country. And yet It's going, as they say, to hell in a handbasket. Now, I'm not sure what a handbasket looks like with hell in it, but, you know, we got
take
trouble.
A look around. That's what it looks like. You know, I mean, it's, yeah. You know, when you have, after World War II, the whole world was adamant. We will never let this happen to the Jewish nation again. You know, but here it is. It is happening all over again. And I interviewed someone and he gave a great analogy. And he said, I'm trying to remember exactly how it was. He said, how crazy these Palestinian protests are. You know, you got the silence of the administration. I seen, you know, they were asking the public affairs lady for the White House, says, is the president going to come out and call these protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters, you know, radicals or, you know, domestic terrorists or anything like that, extremists? Would he use the term extremists? And yeah. He goes, no, they're just expressing their opinion. We're not going to use those labels and stuff like that. You know, so the silence of the administration, the silence of the liberals, the silence of the media, it's just astounding. I mean,
yes, it is. Yeah.
And he gave me this example. He said, what would the media reaction be if, let's say, a group like the Proud Boys or the KKK would have shut down the Brooklyn Bridge or held protests like we see now in support of those cops that beat George Floyd to death? You know, How quick do you think law enforcement would have run in and just arrested the whole bunch of them?
And
I mean, it, you know, that would never have happened. They would not have allowed it to happen, you know, but the media, you know, with the media would just say, oh, no, let them go. They're just expressing their support for stuff they believe in. That's all, you know, that's their right of free speech. You know, no, you know, they'd go in, shut it down with force if necessary, just to demonstrate that we're not putting up with this stuff. But yet here we are watching, you know, major universities just going off the hook, supporting the murderers of innocent people.
Yeah.
You know, the babies, beheading babies. And I mean, it's just terrible, but that's a sign of the times.
Well, okay. So let's kind of like bring it into perspective a little bit better. You know, when the World Trade Center's was the planes flew into it, right? Okay, we have never seen footage of the people who jumped. You might have seen them falling, but there was one, I remember, firemen were taking people out of a building and they said, whatever you do, if you hear anything, just look forward. Do not look around, because they didn't want the images. And there are videotapes of it, images of people hitting the ground. Right? Because it was horrific. Now we have the same thing where you have the absolutely horrible treatment of human beings taking place and they can't show it to you. No, because it's so horrific. And yet you have people that are supporting that mindlessly. No, because they figure they're the underdog for whatever reason. No, and it just doesn't make sense to me that this is taking place, and it's absolutely heartbreaking.
Amen. Tom, we're all out of time, and I'd like you to pray with someone right now who may be listening to this and realize, I need Jesus. And if this is the end days, and it sure does sound like it, I need Jesus. Could you do that right now?
So yes, I would like to do that. On Sunday, my pastor did this. He brought people to the prayer of salvation. And as he was doing it, I had a vision. And the vision was a loaf of bread was being cut. A slice was being cut off of a loaf of bread. And Jesus is the food for life. He is the bread of life. And so we need him on a mass scale. Jesus is needed in our lives and in our families and in our community. So please, seriously, receive him. So let's pray. Dear Father God, I want to tell you that I am a sinner. I am sorry for the pains my sin has caused you. I thank you for the work that Jesus did on the cross. The shedding of his blood is the only way that I can get remission for my sins. And I pray, Father, that you would please bring that right now, then I would be forgiven of my sins, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I would say that I am sorry. Please forgive me. Now I invite Jesus to come into my heart, come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I turn from my sins and I walk forward in following Jesus with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Tom, this has been so interesting. If someone has a question, like to reach out to you, how can they do that? How can they get more information?
It would be healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Amen. You also got some free books still available over at Zoe Healing Center?
Yes, I do. Amen. I'm going out there this weekend to see the new building that they got going on. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You got a new building now, huh?
Praise yes. Amen. Yes. So that's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, amen. I'll put links all this in the show notes below. Folks, our discussion today was not to instill fear, but faith. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the Bible. Faith in biblical prophecy. Faith that none of this is happening by happenstance. None of this is taking God by surprise. But all of this is leading to what is called the end times. And if that prayer you just prayed with Tom Donahue, if that was you, reach out to Tom. Let him know. Go to church. I mean, walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Don't be moved by what you see or hear. Be moved by the word of God alone. Period. Amen. Tom, thank you for coming back on the program and catching us all up on current events happening right before our eyes. I do appreciate it, brother.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share Jesus with the world.
Amen. Praise God. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Tom, Don, myself, Pastor Bob, remind you to be blessed in all that you do.